I know, I'm quite certain, the day you were born, there was somebody busting their buttons, just so happy that you came into the world. And probably parents and aunts and uncles. Generation after generation, we get so delighted, so happy when a new life comes into the world, right? Yeah. And that was you when you took your first breath. And I can well imagine, even beyond your parents, I can imagine the great delight that God took when you were born. An even greater delight the day you, his child, turned your life to Jesus and accepted him, trusted him, received him as the Lord of your life and your Savior. You believe that? That God was really delighted that day? Of course he was. He invested everything in that new birth. And because he invested everything in your new birth and mine, because of that, he just really cares about how we take care of these lives that he has invested so much in. Paul urges us in the book of Colossians, in this little letter written from prison to a people that he had never met. He just wants to make it very, very sure that these people who were brought to him himself by somebody that Paul led to Christ, probably in prison. That was Epaphras. He writes to them, and he tells them, in essence, to take care of yourself as God's precious possession. Take care of yourself. Yet, can you remember people saying that to you? I can remember every time I left the house, my dad would say to me, two things. He'd say, be careful. And he'd say, God bless you. And that was even before he knew Christ as his Savior. Parents say that all the time. When was the last time somebody said to you, or when you said to somebody, take care, take care? There's somebody on the radio, I don't know, maybe he says, one of his sign-off lines is, watch your six. You know, what does that mean? Behind you? Yeah, I guess that's supposed to be kind of a macho military term, but, you know, just take care out there. You're moving out into a world. I appreciate the songs that Dan chose today. For today, you know, it was like, we're in good hands. We're in God's hands. But take care of the life that he's given you. You. Take care of it. And I'm not just talking about take care on the road, though that's very important. Take care. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Page 1166, if you're looking in the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 1166, Colossians chapter 2. And I'm so glad that we're all here today, because this is really a super wonderful text, and it's such a solid reminder to every one of us here. It's like every word we should embrace and understand how serious it is. These are divinely inspired words by the Holy Spirit inspiring this man in prison. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to actually read verse 5 through verse 8. Paul writes, "For though I am absent from you in body," I'm not there, "I'm present with you in spirit, and I'm delighting to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ." Now, before I read the next two verses, the next three verses, listen, does that sound like a little bit pedantic, a little bit teachy, a little bit too orderly? I'm just delighted to see how orderly you are. Does that mean everybody sweeps up and makes sure things are dusted and, you know, everybody does their banking the same way as everybody else? I'm kind of amused at those words until we understand that that word orderly it's a military term. In fact, both of these terms, how orderly you are and how firm is your faith in Christ. They're military terms. They describe how it's like he's saying, you're walking in line, you're walking in step. It's really good to hear that you are not succumbing to the, you're prepared for the enemy and you're not buckling under to the enemy. So this is a good thing. You're orderly and firm in your faith in Christ. Verse 6. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it." Warning. This is a warning. "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Warning. Pay attention. Please pay attention to this. Don't let anyone deceive you, because somebody's always trying to pull the rug out from under you. Somebody's always trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Somebody's always trying to do that to you and to me. To me? Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah, very, very serious. Can you remember a time when somebody hacked you? Anybody been hacked recently? Wow. How was it that I got hacked twice this week? Am I making up for you? I just got hacked. I mean, I am hardly ever on Facebook. I mean, I rarely wave at somebody. I hardly ever respond. You know what I mean when I'm talking about hacked? Somebody wants and has your information. And they're, you know, it's really a nefarious thing that they want to get you. What are you doing? I bet you have Norton. Well, maybe you have LifeLock and you're sitting back going, it's going well. I got a text message yesterday morning, while I'm having my quiet time, boom, this thing just comes on. I wasn't looking at my text messaging. And it said to me, did you have a charge on your credit card for $1? And I went, I thought, well, I probably shouldn't type this, but I typed in, no. And then I got another one and it said, and it was from Mark, my cardholder, it said, but now I don't trust anything. I don't trust it because somebody's out to get me and to get whatever I have. Oh. So it said, call us immediately. And then a phone number. Oh, man, what do I do? And it gave me that phone number. It's as easy as just pushing that little blue number on my phone, right? Now, I don't trust anybody. If you called me, I wouldn't trust you yesterday morning. I mean, when you've been hacked and somebody twice this week, two different ways, two different platforms. And these are just people. By the way, I called the back of my credit card. I finally got presence of mind early in the morning. So I called on the number on the back of my credit card, and they said, yeah, you've been hacked. So, okay, good, I've got the right people. Guys, this is just money. This is just my personal information. Here's the deal. When you and I go out there, every single day, there's somebody, I'm telling you, do you believe it? There's somebody trying to hack you every day. You. I don't care how old you are. I don't care, young or old. Somebody's trying to hack you. And you know who's behind it? The enemy of your soul, the enemy of my soul. His name is Satan. And he's got all sorts of inroads into your life and mine. His goal is to cast a doubt in your mind and mine over and over and over again. Are you wasting your time? Aren't you wasting your time on this Jesus stuff? You're just wasting your time. You're talking about the Bible, and you're wasting your time when you're talking about prayer. You're just wasting your time. Are you serious? I mean, I've got the newspaper here. It tells me all the things that I need to be really concerned about. I mean, these are the headlines. Trump is in July, phoned repeatedly the president of the Ukraine. That's one. The U.S. said, a different headline, the U.S. said it would send military forces and hardware to Gulf allies and a move because of the Iranian attack. Another headline, the U.S. reached a deal with El Salvador. Another headline, we got lots of El Salvadorians here, so, hey, that's, you know, the enemy is wanting to say, man, you need to put your trust in politics. You need to put your trust in money. You need to put your trust in sex. You need to put your trust in marriage. You need to put your trust in employment. You need to trust, and you need to trust, and all these things will fulfill your life and mine. You know what that's called? It's called idolatry. At the bottom of this page, this tells me where it's all going, and I need to. This needs to be my burden in life. Students around the world rally against climate change. There's a cause you should give your life for. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not the son of a scientist. Hey, you know. Don't put your hope on all the promises of people to deliver, because it is a trust put in another God that says that other God can deliver the goods. Money, security, looks, popularity, friends. How many friends do you have? Well, check your phone right now and just see how many friends you have. Will they be there when all you really need is Jesus? There's two major points in this message. One is remain true to Christ. Remain true to Christ. Paul says in verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. How did you come to Christ? How did you come to Christ? As Lord and Savior. How did it happen? I know how. If you really came to Christ, according to the words of Jesus, you came to Christ as a child, right? He said, unless you come to me like a child, in complete and utter hope to me, then you can't really, you're not going to really be part of me. Receive me like a child would receive a parent. Receive me. So Paul says, just in the same way that you received Christ Jesus as Lord, I just told you, I'm delighted with the fact that you've been walking, you have been walking in the truth, like in the military. You've had the gaze of your soul on me. You've been well taught. Epaphras came from the school of Paul, and he went right to his back home, and he started to teach you layer upon layer upon layer as to who I am. He layer upon layer talked about my will that is grounded in Christ. He taught you how to pray, and Paul just slips right back into telling, in saying, this is how we've prayed for you ever since we heard of your faith. We have prayed for you this way. Now, this is marching orders now, folks. Look at verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. This is that orderly march, the orderly march. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in everything you do. And you've been marching. You've been pleasing to the Lord. But don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let it happen. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to walk that direction. Now he explains what that walk that direction means. It's about these four things. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened with the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's a once and for all, being rooted in Christ. We're in Colossians right now. Turn back past Philippians and to Ephesians. Just one book away. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is really big time. This is how he prays, big time for his spiritual family. I tell you, this is one of the most wonderful prayers for his spiritual family. And again, he's writing this from prison. Well, you know, you got nothing else to do. You know, you can only work out so much in the prison yard. Well, actually, he was in a house. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. How can we pray for Karen on Thursday? Well, we can pray for the doctors. We can pray for the nurses. We can pray that Karen will be physically strong. We can pray. All of these things are critically important, and pray for her family. But add to that prayer. Just continue to pray this way. Pray that she may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in her inner being. In her inner being. Where life is really happening in the inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you may be rooted and established in love. What's this? Is this a prayer for lovey feelings? Is that what this is about? No, it's rooted in the love of Christ. I like the way the New Living Bible says it, actually the old New Living Bible. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living in you as you trust in him. He'll be living in you, at home in your hearts, as you trust in him. And I pray that you will
you will come to know the love of God that surpasses all understanding, that you will know the length and breadth, the height and the depth of that love, which is impossible to fully understand it, but may you just keep growing in that love. So when Paul says, I pray that, and I'm just urging you to continue walking in this relationship, walking in Christ, I pray that you will be rooted deeply, that your roots will go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, so that you will be able to know and understand, as all God's people should, the full dimensions of God's love for you, no matter what you are going through. And we sang songs about that today, didn't we? We sang songs about the dimensions of that love, and that he's never going to let go, no matter what the details are in our life. And no matter, the enemy might want to just pick away at those things, rooted and grounded in love. He says that he prays that, he said, may you remain true to Christ as Lord, being built up. This is a present tense verb, and it's this continuous action, built up by the word of God's grace, built up in your spirit. He wouldn't have to tell us what his will is. He wouldn't have to remind us as to who he is and what he says. But may we be built up brick upon brick. If we're going to be strong in the midst of life, it is absolutely going to take, you guys, let me tell you this. Talking to younger adults, younger people, and to everyone else above you. God wants us to be built up by his word, by his grace behind that. When he just gives us an understanding that we didn't earn, but an understanding of his will, because he loves us with an endless love. He talks about being strengthened. Verse 7, once again, strengthened. The word strengthened is, once again, this is this issue of being strengthened in our inner core. And as a result of all of this, putting the right stuff into this daily walk with God, I can't afford, folks, after all these years, I can't afford to let my guard down. And I've got to, every single day, be built up in utter dependence upon God and his word. Every day. It's not like this is an option. You know what we learned? We learned this as a physical education major, and as a former one-time athlete, I learned that a principle called retroactive training. You know what retroactive training is? It is this. It is a pure, simple, true axiom. After 90 days of inactivity, 90 days, you have complete retroactive training. You know, I walked by, one of our friends here today, and you shake hands and you pat people on the shoulders, and I patted this person I went up like this and went, wow, pretty substantial. I mean, pretty muscular. I actually went back for a second, wow. It was for real. But if that guy, it was a guy. I know you probably thought it was. It's not hands on women, it's hands on, yeah. Wow. I'm still thinking about that. So, but 90 days of inactivity, if he goes and hits the recliner for the next 90 days, when you do this, you'll go, wow is right. What happened? I go to I walk every morning, you know, and I walk every morning, three miles every morning, early in the morning, in the dark. I've got my routine. Doctor said, you're diabetic, you got to walk. So I've walked. For years, I've walked. And then I started looking in the mirror, you know, and when I'm shaving, I'm going, what happened to your shoulders? Those are old guy shoulders. Really? You know, what? So I started going to the gym. I thought it would be a good use of my money since I'd been paying for the gym, you know, for a couple of years. And so I finally started to go. I know I had the elders praying that I would I'd live 3 years so I could pay off my membership. And but I started going to the gym, and you know, a little bit of it started coming back. Have you noticed? No. You didn't notice, I know. But whoa, that's better than it was. And a little bit, the shoulders have come back a little bit. But this is my point. You know, I go on vacation for 2 weeks, and I come back, and it's mushy. It's mushy. Guys, you young people, you are strong right now. You are athletic, you are, you know, people will go wow when they see that you're strong. But the same principle is there spiritually. You gotta do the right stuff. You gotta spend time alone with God. You gotta spend time alone with God in prayer. You've got to learn to pray. Man, how critical is this? I would try to think if I've got here. I was reading in my quiet time this morning, and this captured my attention. From Psalm 105, if you want to just write this reference down, look at Psalm 105. These words can simply just pass by. Psalm 105, verses, I think it's like 8 through 11. Verses 8 to 11. Now let's look at it. Psalm 105, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 105, verses 8 through 11. This is what the psalmist says. He, God, remembers his covenant. Give me another word for covenant. Promise. He remembers his promise forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. He remembers. He's not going to forget that promise. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath that he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant promise. To you, I will give the land of Canaan and as a portion that you will inherit. Now, be ready to take a leapfrog with me right here, okay? He's talking about, isn't it great to go home? Isn't it great to go home? It is really, really great. My old friend Fred lived on a 40-acre farm. That's all. And I rode down that road hundreds of times on the way to lunch with Fred and Leona. And Fred would say, no matter where I would go, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, the best part of the trip would be the old dirt road, going home. And he said, do we long for our home? Now, just listen to this. This was a prayer at the end of this little devotional. And man, did it capture my attention this morning. I needed this for where it was taking me. Lord, give me the peace that comes from knowing that nothing in this world is truly home. Give me the strength. I really like this statement. Give me the strength that comes from visiting my future home. I love this. Give me the strength that comes from visiting my future home when I know your love and presence in prayer. You get it? Give me the strength that comes from visiting my future home that I experience when I experience your presence in prayer. I really needed to hear that today. Guys, keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Brick upon brick, prayer upon prayer, turning and trusting God. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. The expression that no one, see to it, pay attention, warning, see to it that no one takes you captive. The word captive could be maybe even better translated kidnapped. Make sure that nobody kidnaps you and holds you ransom. Make sure that no one takes you away. People like false teachers, all sorts of false teachers. And we have, do you understand? We have false teachers day in and day out. You may not be in school right now. You may not be in college or university or high school or middle school. But we all have countless teachers that are trying to teach us every single day. And what they are trying to teach us. Now, I don't consider all the people that are out there. I really don't, as I don't consider them as our enemy. What I consider is that the enemy of our soul is inflaming this person and this person and this person and this person. They're, more than anything, victims of the enemy. But they're being used by the enemy of our soul. And he's trying to convince us that something else is more important than God. You understand? It's seriously. He's trying to convince us that all these other causes in life are so much more important than getting our answers at the very root in God. He says, look at this. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world, rather than on Christ. Guys, have you taken philosophy? Anybody ever taken a philosophy course? Well, actually, you take one every day. Somebody's sharing various forms of philosophy. They're, whether it's on television or in the newspapers, whether it's on a sports channel, or it's in a journal of a scientific journal. Somebody's trying to. They're sharing a philosophy. The word, you know, is Paul or the Bible against philosophy? You think it is? I remember when I took a class in philosophy, and it was my freshman year in college, I thought this will be the end of me. I will soon be no longer a student in university. And the teacher, the professor, was trying to convince all of us that it was going to be the end of all of us. He said, as he was a big guy, and he put his foot up on the chair. I don't have a chair here. For the effect, but he said, by the time we reach the drop date, 75% of you will drop this class. He was really proud of this. 75% of you will drop, and of the 25% that remain, half of you will fail. Well, I survived. Is God against philosophy? Was Paul against philosophy? No. You know what the word philosophy means? Love of wisdom. Love of wisdom. It's just a, it's a nice, it's to embrace, you know, philo, that's like brotherly love. You have a brotherly affection for wisdom.
But what he's against is hollow and deceptive philosophy, full of things that would steer us away from the one who is the center of the universe, the one Jesus in whom all wisdom is found. All wisdom is found in him because he is the living God. God is not against philosophy, but he is absolutely opposed to countless attempts to turn our attention to something else, some other answer, all the time. You might have guessed that I was a little bit panicked yesterday about the text that I got. About, this is it. They're trying, second time, they're after me this week. The philosophy of the world would be, you got to protect your six, you got to protect your six, protect your six. The basic principles of the world that Paul speaks of, probably the law of Moses as one good possibility. The elements, the four elements that the Greek philosophers used to talk about, which were earth, air, fire, and water. It seems to me there was a music group that kind of went by that title. And stages, demonic and very pagan practices, rituals, and putting your confidence in some of these traditions. I was afraid that I would offend your tradition by wearing my shirt out today. And I don't go to the gym enough, so I'm wearing my shirt out today. Stages, rites, rituals, heathen, Mother Earth. This last week there was a conference on, maybe you know you heard about this, a conference on Mother Earth, and that's where the answers must be, in aligning myself with the protecting as this as the end all and the ultimate good, rather than on Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 2, actually, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Where's he going with this? In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom, and I would pray this for all of these young lives and all of us nearing the end, that we will understand this, in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These young lives are just getting started, and the road is set before them. Pray for them. And pray for yourself, for your loved ones, near and far. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends upon human tradition and basic principles rather than on Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that I pray that you'd keep reminding me that this is a serious matter to consider. Many of us started out very, very well with people pouring into us and teaching us, and we were eager, and we had a passion for your word and for prayer. Lord, I pray that we would just keep growing in that direction. Continue building on a solid foundation. Continue meeting with you and getting a taste of glory when we spend time alone with you, with an open Bible and in prayer. Lord, teach us and ground us, root us in Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.